That's what we do here.
Listen, as I've often said, I will say it again. Tonight's message rings true and hits home, because even tonight's message, John is saying, check things out by the scripture. Don't just listen to what people say. Look at the book. Get a look at the book. That's what John kept saying throughout this entire section. Look, sometimes I get it wrong. I get excited and I'm just a preaching away, and I'll tell you that Moses built the ark. And I'll be like, no, that's not right. Or I get excited and I'll forget where I'm at. My tongue gets wrapped around my eye teeth where I can't see nothing. And it's a problem. That's a dad joke you'll get later. So I always tell people, don't take my word for it. Look up everything I talk about. Know what the Bible actually says. Know the difference. Because there's so many voices out there that sound spiritual and sound logical, but the question is, are they scriptural? Will you ever ask yourself why there's so many different churches with so many different beliefs? Then beyond Christianity, why is there so many different religions with so many different ways to heaven? Take a look at the book. You know, the Dead Sea Scrolls, how many of you heard of it?
Yep.
All right, that is physical scientific proof that the Bible has not changed in 2,000 years.
Amen.
Okay, so every idiot who bloviated at the office and said, well, it's a copy of a copy of a copy, so it can't be true, is a fool. Because that's physical scientific proof that the Bible hadn't changed.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, if God bothered to write it down, let's stop talking about it and start reading it.
Amen. That's good.
Okay, and that's the key. Because your coworkers don't care what I think. As honored as I am when I meet people and they're like, oh yeah, my sister-in-law shared a link to your video. And, you know, I'm honored by that. I'm humbled by that. But the truth is, your coworkers want to know why you believe. You're the person they know. You're the person who works, gets up every day, does the same job that they do, and yet you have a faith that they don't understand. That's who they want to hear from. And tonight, this whole book of John is John writing to his friends and expecting it to be copied and sent throughout the known world to explain how to have fellowship with God. Now, a relationship is different than fellowship. For those of you who are new to this series that in 1 John, relationship is something you're born into. You were born into a relationship with your parents by blood, and that'll never change. I mean, I don't care if you grow up to be an axe murderer and move to Indiana. It doesn't matter. You're still their kid. DNA don't change. But how well you get along, now that's fellowship. Right? Mamas, your babies didn't work to earn the right, or they didn't even help you during the birthing process, did they? No, you did all the work. Guess what? God does all the saving. Now, how well you get along with God is now your obedience and respectfulness determines how well you get along with God. It didn't put you in a relationship with Him. Now that you're born into the relationship by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are now God's child, 1 John chapter 1. And now that, and Jesus said in John 10, He will never throw you away. There's nothing you can do. There's no line you can cross that God's going to throw you away. And in John 10, the Bible says you can't even walk away.
Yeah.
Even if you thought you wanted to. You're His. Now, how do we walk in fellowship with God? Well, in John chapter 4, the first test of our fellowship is based on Scripture. There in 1 John chapter 4, as you're turning over there, we find that every time Jesus was questioned by the Pharisees, He always said, well, what did Moses say? What saith the law? In Matthew 22, it says, what think ye of Christ? Jesus answers their question with a question and says, what think ye of Christ? Who is He? Whose son is He? And they say, the son of David. You know, this question separates Christianity, real Christianity, from all other world religions. Remember in Luke, after Jesus had sent them out two by two to preach and to heal people, they come back to the fire and Jesus goes, so who is it they think I am? And they say, well, some think you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. You're Elijah, you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then He points at him and He says, whom do ye say that I am? That's in Luke chapter 9 in verse 20. And Peter answered, thou art the Christ. Who do you think Jesus is? I mean, because every world religion has a view of Jesus. The Jews think he's the illegitimate or bastard son of a Roman soldier who raped Mary. That's who they think he is. Islam, well, he's a prophet and one day will return and lead everybody to Islam. The Buddhists have an opinion. The Hindus, even the atheists have an opinion. So it matters who you think Jesus is. And that thought or that understanding needs to be based on Scripture. Because we would not believe the claims of Jesus Christ if it wasn't for the Old Testament prophecies. He and only he is has ever fulfilled them. The Old Testament types and symbols of a lamb and a substitute. He's the only one throughout time that has fulfilled those types and symbols as well. So the first test of fellowship is Bible doctrine. What does the Bible say? Look at verse number 1 of 1 John 4. Beloved, he's talking to people he knows, people he loves. Believe not every spirit, small s. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, plural. That means there's more than one false spirit. But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. What do you mean? Listen, fallen angels. We call them devils. These are the ones that are on Satan's side. They have passed themselves off as gods. They have whispered to people and created false doctrines and false truths and false religions. And now they're false prophets. So when you think of a spirit, you're a triune being. You have a spirit. You're body, soul, and spirit. You're not a body that has a soul and a spirit. You're a soul that has a spirit that inhabits this body for now. One day we will die or we'll get raptured and this body will change. The spirit, the other spirit besides what's in, besides your spirit and the Holy Spirit inside you, there are other spirits inside other preachers and teachers. Some people speak the truth, some don't. Some people will offer bad advice. And so you have to try the spirits. Do you see that? He says, but try them. What does that mean? The word try in the Greek meant like to measure, to test. See, the problem with modern Christianity is we want to be the standard and we want to get the Bible to somehow line up with us as the standard. Yeah. People say, well, I want to find a church that believes like me. How about you find a church that believes like the Bible? Then we'll see. You understand what I'm saying? I'll tell you this story. I've told it to, but this is, you'll laugh. You new folks will laugh. My wife bought me my first wide margin Bible, King James Bible, when I, about 6 months after I got saved, and I started making notes in it. And it fell apart because from you. So I sent it off to get rebound and I bought another one. Started making notes in it. So when I got, the second one fell apart, I grabbed the first one off the shelf and started reading it and found out I don't agree with myself anymore. Yeah. Right? Because my initial understanding of the Bible was framed by my own preconceived ideas, my own paradigm of Christianity from the Protestantism I came from. And you're going to find that the Bible will mess up your theology. The Bible will mess up your preconceived ideas. Because there's a lot of stuff out there that's spiritual, but it's not scriptural. So, beloved, try the spirits. Demonic spirits or fallen angels, they have produced false teachers and false doctrine. If you're taking notes, 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit, verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. They were walking in the Bible and orthodox, but in latter times what? They've departed from the faith. How? What did they do? They gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That tells you where the false doctrine came from. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. They're doing it because it benefits them financially. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Does that sound familiar? 2 Corinthians 11, if you're taking notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 13. Why do I use so much scripture in my sermon? Because the Bible is its own best commentary. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And verse number 13, the Bible says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. What do you mean? They're passing themselves off as orthodox. Ken Copeland is the wealthiest pastor in America, and he teaches heresy. Heresy. The man is from the, he's not, and I, at first I would like to say he's from the ozone, but if you sit and watch him for a while, you can tell he has bought into this mess and it's become profitable. And it says here, and no marvel, that shouldn't surprise you. Why? Because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Oh, preacher, you're judging people. No, the Bible says those that preach contrary to Scripture are not being led of the Holy Spirit of God. They're being led by a satanic spirit or a spirit of one of the devils who has made it profitable for them physically. In some way, some secondary benefit has trumped the desire to please our Father in heaven. Are you even remotely fearful of what the Father thinks? That's what I think to myself when I think of these men. I'm like, you realize there's a day of reckoning coming. You're going to stand before him one of these days, and he's going to ask you, what'd you do with Jesus? And number two, he's going to ask you, what'd you do with his book? And I don't want to be standing there going, I wanted an Escalade. Yeah, I mean, you seriously, what can I say? Well, you know, I was trying to keep peace in our house, you know, I didn't want to upset the mother-in-law. But Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Now, look, the gospel is offensive enough. I don't have to add my own personality to it. Right? Right? Let's just be honest about that. I don't have to become disagreeable, but I can disagree. I can. So we're to prove the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, Paul says, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. Why? Because I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I've done all I can to teach you how to be right with God so you're ready when he comes. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he, now look at that next phrase. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. I'm concerned you don't know enough of the Scripture that you might be sucked into that garbage, just like Eve was. I mean, people say to me, but they're so pleasant, and they're such good communicators. But are they scriptural? Oh, there's a whole lot of folks out there that are better at speaking than I am, who put their thoughts together better than I do. But they use our vocabulary, but the devil's dictionary. That's why it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Prove them. Test them. Line them up with Scripture. It says in look here, go to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. If you don't get anything else tonight, you need to make this a memory verse. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. For following along, use your phone. I know I talk fast. I've had two Mountain Dews today and I'm feeling good. All right, so Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Look what it says. I love this verse. To the law and to the testimony. It means line things up to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Okay, so then where'd it come from? Let's just be honest. Let's just get real for a second. I know you love Reverend so-and-so, and I know you love the apostle so-and-so and the bishop so-and-so, and I know you love these people, and I'm not here to spit on your grandma because she followed those people. I'm just here to tell you truth. If it's not squaring with Scripture, then somebody made it up. And typically they make things up for the reason of power and control. I don't want to control you. I got all the problems I can handle trying to control me. Right? I don't got time to have minions. I need you to follow God. Amen. And we'll all be better off if we all just individually walked with God and followed the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit inside you and the Word of God in front of you. The Bible says, and Peter said that he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. You got everything you need to follow after him. So we should always be testing everything according to Scripture. In Luke 10:26, Jesus said, he said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? In John 5:39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. John 5 and verse 46, for if they had believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. You know, in Acts 17, the Bible says that the Bereans were commended by Paul because they didn't take his message at face value. They got out the Old Testament and checked to see if what Paul was saying squared with what Moses said. In Acts 17:11 is that reference. They were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Christianity is not you checking your brain at the door. Christianity is you releasing your brain to ask questions, to think for yourself. And if you have a critical individual thought, you are not going to be part of the crowd anymore. Nobody thinks anymore. Nobody has an original thought anymore. No one seems to be able to have conversations anymore. Why? Because they're still fogged down and sludged up with the things of the world, and they're just told what to think. Now, let me make an addendum, a proviso. I can't think of the word right now. You need to line things up with the scripture, yes, but you need to line them up contextually. Because the best false teachers will pull pull things out of context and show and make up new doctrines. Like Judas went out and hung himself. Go thou and do likewise. Both of those are scriptural, but they are not contextual. But if you put them together like train cars, you can make up your own doctrine. And listen, people use the Bible to control other people all the time. Now, some preach their own Jesus, though. Here in 1 John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Here's how you know you're following the Spirit of God. Why? Because every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Everybody else denies that the Messiah has come. The Jews are still looking for their Messiah. The Muslims are still looking for their Messiah. The Buddha thinks he's got the Dalai Lama, but they're always looking for the next one. Some preach their own man-made Jesus, like the JWs. I'm not here to spit on your family. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Jehovah's Witnesses teach a false doctrine, a false gospel, and a false salvation because they teach a false Jesus. They believe he's a created being, not the creator. The Mormons are the same way. Jesus is the half-brother of Satan. And all of Jesus, through help of another God, Jesus became God and created his own world. But Satan's children are here too. They're the African. That's the official Mormon doctrine. That Africans have no souls and they're of the devil. Google it. That's what they believe. It's what they teach. You think that's just wrong. Well, I have a copy of The Kingdom of the Cults by Walter Martin right in there. And you're welcome to read it. Do you see that's not in the brochure? Do you ever notice why it's always the fair-skinned people who come to your door? You ever notice that? Stuff's starting to make sense now, isn't it? See, all this garbage was made up a couple hundred years ago, and now they have to add lie upon lie upon lie. You can look it up yourself. I've already done the research. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, you need to line up your thinking with the book. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. Mark 7 and verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I've been in churches where if you don't dress a certain way, you're not right with God. You don't have a haircut a certain way, you're not right with God. You don't listen to certain music, you're not right with God. I've heard a message preaching against overhead projectors. I'm telling you, I want you to walk with God. I want you to read your Bible. I want Jesus to speak to you through the book. And you and Jesus walk together. Now, the church, yeah, there's a reason for the church, yes. But the lion's share of your life should be in your daily quiet time with Jesus. That's where you and God meet. Now it said here, back in verse one, it says, not every spirit, but try the spirits. There are other spirits. 2 Corinthians 11:4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received. Now, I believe the devil is always copying God. And there is a false Holy Spirit. Now, it's my personal opinion. I don't know what you think, and that's between you and the Lord. But I'm just going to tell you, as your pastor, I believe, and this may bother you, I believe those that dabble in modern day tongues is being influenced by a false Holy Spirit. Because if you'll look up tongues in the Bible, you will find out this gibberish that happens in mass is nothing like what the Bible says is supposed to happen, and Paul corrected them in Corinthians for.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, so what spirit is leading them? It wasn't God's. Now, I know that's going to make some folks mad, and I'm probably losing people on the online already. But that's okay. Another gospel. You know, in Galatians, it says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Isn't it interesting that Joseph Smith of the Mormons and Muhammad of Islam both claim that an angel gave them their version of the Bible? Isn't that interesting? So there are false prophets. Well, you say, well, they're so wonderful to listen to. Jesus said in Matthew 7, beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather thorns or grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Numbers and being able to fill large stadiums is not a sign of spiritual fruit. It's ironic how often the majority is wrong. Anybody going to give me the understanding on that one? I mean, they were wrong with Noah, right? The majority was wrong. They were wrong with Joseph, right? The majority voted against Joseph, right? Didn't the majority vote against Jesus too? Jesus said in John 15, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own. If you were of the world, spoke like the world, acted like the world would follow you. The world would like you. The world would buy into your podcast and do your stuff. You know, even though I can name two guys right now that used to be Baptist, that sell that best-selling authors, and they pack stadiums. But their theology is the skin of the scripture stuffed with humanism. And the question you have to ask yourself is, who am I following? I make the joke that, you know, I'm supposed to be your favorite internet preacher now. I get that. I used to preach against internet preachers, but now that I am one, you know what I'm saying? But you should still check everything I say by scripture. You should go out to the web. Phil always puts my outlines out there. Look up every reference I have quoted and ask yourself, is that what the book says in context? Did he get that right? Is that how it is? Look, this is how false religions get started. People who used to follow the Bible stray. And sometimes the internet's a blessing and sometimes it's a curse. I'll lead somebody to Christ and they've never listened to a preacher on the internet in their life until they get saved, and now all of a sudden they're bombarded in their newsfeed with all these monkeys I wouldn't let my dog listen to. Oh, I was listening to this on the internet. I'm like, oh. You have to test false teachers. Look at verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. It says, here's how you test it. Here is the ruler, and that's the scripture. Is what they're saying line up? Now it says here, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ. Now let me help you here. The word Christ is not his last name. I don't know about you, but I used to live in El Paso, Texas, and there was a lot of Marias who gave birth to baby Jesuses. The word Christ means the anointed one, the one that God promised Adam and Eve in the garden, the one the Ark of Noah pictured, the one that Abel's blood sacrifice pictured, the one the Passover lamb pictured, the one that was sacrificed for Isaac on the altar in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. God shall provide himself a lamb. That was a picture of the one and the only Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one, God in the flesh. Don't you remember at Christmas time we read that it says, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God? How do you miss that? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So Christ is his divine title. Do you realize it's used 514 times in the New Testament? Now, I'm going to step on some toes, but I love you. But when you remove then the word Christ from that section of Scripture, it could be any Jesus. And as you're looking at the Old King James, whenever the words are not in italics, that means there was a Greek word there. So when it's in straight text, there is a Jesus and there is a Christ in the Greek. The New King James takes that word out. Well, it takes the word Lord Jesus out 66 times. It takes the word God out 51 times. It takes out repent 44 times. Now, I love you, but they're taking out some words like damnation and abomination that have no modern synonym in the English language. Now, I love you. You read whatever you want. But people always ask me, why do you use the old King James? Because it hasn't been changed. The NIV omits God's name and title 135 times. The NIV omits 17 specific entire verses. And I have the list here for you. I got NIVs on my desk. I just went and looked them up, made sure I wasn't telling you false. The NIV has removed 64,576 words total. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22. Do you realize I can pick 30 books of the Bible, combine them together, and we still don't get to 64,000 words? Have you ever had your children forget certain words from the commandments you gave them? Does it bother you? And you say, well, Pastor, you're stepping on toes. Look, I love you. And I understand sometimes the sentence structure is a little difficult. And I used a dictionary today. Okay, I love you, but this is sacred language. This isn't street language, this is sacred language. And so when they remove verses from the Bible that I can give you all 17 and none of them are, it was sunny and we had a nice day. They were all doctrinally relevant, like when the Ethiopian eunuch said, here's water, what hindered me to be baptized? And John says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. See how salvation has to come before baptism? Because baptism has nothing to do with salvation. And then the Ethiopian eunuch says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But an NIV jumps from 36 period to 38. And leaves Romans 10:10 out, which, it, you know what I'm saying? It's Romans 10:10's fulfillment when he says that. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Well, when you leave out Acts 8:37, I can now teach baptism is part of salvation, which is the church on Jeff Todd. You're not truly saved till you're baptized. That's what they teach. Now, look, I'm your pastor and I love you. And I'm telling you, like Paul talked about Hymenaeus and Philetus, I'm telling you about people who are teaching wonky stuff. And I'm begging you to look at the Scripture. Because to have fellowship with God, the first one is doctrinal. You have to believe the Word is true. Amen. Jesus said to the woman at the well, God wants worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in what is truth. John 17:17, thy word is truth. He wants to be worshipped according to Scripture. God didn't leave us to guess. So to believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that the Messiah is, he came, and he's coming again. 2 John 7 says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. How is this possible? Because seducing spirits have influenced people who've brought in false doctrine, false Bibles, false Christians, false churches. They deny the sinlessness of Christ. Thus, they deny the deity of Christ. And you say, man, you just... No, I love you. And I want you to understand that there is a lot of stuff out there on the internet that's good. But the only way you know it's good is if you follow along in the Bible and go, whoa, 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 let me see that again. Verse number 3 of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. I'm sorry, Mr. Obama. Not all roads, not all religions lead to God. Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way. I'm the truth. There is no other truth. I am the life. There's no life outside of me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he says in verse 3, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and now already is it in the world. Now, I meet a lot of people, and they're marginally curious about Christ. They're marginally curious about spiritual things until you say, thus saith the Lord. And then they want no part of it. They're like, oh, well. Thank you. Look at the time. You know, somebody did that to me yesterday. I was talking to them, and I was telling them about how I was talking to this person. And I said, you know, I was speaking to your husband, and he told me about how he got saved, how he realized he was a sinner and trust Christ as his Savior. And she goes, well, you know, that sounds great. You know, I got confirmed when it's not what I was talking about. Look, I love you, and I'm certainly not trying to be hateful, but I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, Jesus said there's only one way. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to walk in fellowship. And the first proof of that is walking with Scripture. You know, it said in Acts 17 that the Athenians and strangers, which spent their time doing nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And I believe that's how the internet works today. They're always wanting to get some new take, some new angle on something. But Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you. The word spoil in 1611 meant steal from you by force. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. So that's why there's a lot of imitation Christianity. Right? We have imitation butter. We have imitation cheese. Right? Right?
It's no good.
Right? I understand that, but I'm waiting for that. I can't believe it's not gluten. You know? I'm still waiting for that. But that's why there's imitation Christianity. Not everything that says church on the door is a church. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? How? Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. John was confident that every Christian who, if you're a Christian, then you're saved. If you're saved, you're a Christian, okay? And the Holy Spirit's inside you. The minute you trusted Christ, he took up residence inside you. If you're truly saved, then the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are the children of God. And as you read the Bible, he's the one who leads you and guides you into all truth. He's the one that brings to remembrance everything Jesus taught. That's John 14, 15, and 16. And you are in a battle. How do we overcome this? By relying on the Holy Spirit inside us, yes, but also the Word of God in front of us. See, if all we ever do is read the Bible, we'll become Pharisees. And we judge people. If all we ever do is pray, we become liberal. Because there is no standard of truth. It takes a balance of the Holy Spirit leading you inside and the Scripture in front of you. And it wouldn't hurt if you had a good dictionary. Right? That's all you need. So walk in the Spirit. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, the other things you fight against is not just false teachers led because of false spirits. You also have the worldly mind. Look at verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. They boast of their learning. They have great swelling words. They want to reason out all of the things, and it becomes a substitute for the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's Bible teaching. Why? Why would he say that? Because the next verse says, because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers. Why? Why? Because they want to hear what sounds good to them. You know, the most frustrated person you'll ever meet is when somebody comes to me and wants me to approve them leaving their spouse. Are you being physically harmed? Because I can fix that. No. Are you being neglected and locked up? No. I can fix that if that's what's happening. I'll stop that. No. I just feel... Now your feelings have trumped the Word of God. That's how you stay married. When you realize that that love is an action because of a choice I make. Not because of a feeling I feel. I choose to love. I choose to meet my wife's needs. And you know what happens? She loves me back. It's like the most powerful thing I've ever experienced in my life. 35 years of marriage. How? If I love her and put her first and do it for the glory of God without any expectation of return, because God doesn't treat me with a performance review, why should I treat her with a performance review? If I will love her like Christ loved the church, my feelings don't have anything to do with it. But what happens is the feelings come later, like the caboose on a train. If I make the choice to love her and be selfless and not be concerned about what I get out of the deal, all of that comes at the end in a powerful way, in a better way than I ever experienced in my life. And it's that way with everything with God. When you step out by faith in obedience and leave the repercussions up to God, he finds he does greater, more abundant things in your life than you could even ask or think. Amen. Because you checked your feelings at the door, not your brain, your feelings. Like, I always have to have my feelings met. You know what? You're never going to have your desires fully met on this planet until you get to Jesus, until you get to heaven. Why should I live? These are some of the lies I'm going to be preaching on probably this summer. The Lord won't let me leave it alone. I'm going to have to come back to it. He's like, you got to preach on this. The lies we believe that God isn't enough, that I have these desires and they're not being fulfilled. We'll talk about that. So the Word of God still stands true. Look at verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. It resonates with you. He that is not of God heareth us not. This is the hard part, brothers and sisters. When we go back and visit family or friends and I show them the scripture and they don't want to hear it. What does that mean? Now, you don't want to think that way. You don't want to believe that way. But I'm here to tell you, your hopes and your wishes and your best intentions are not going to get them into heaven just because you're wishing and hoping. How about we get to praying and letting them see the joy and the hope that's within us, 2 Peter 2 and verse 15. And then they ask us so we can tell them it's Jesus. But you can wish all day, but that ain't going to get them into heaven. Well, I think they're safe. How about you ask them? Well, I hope they are. Well, how about you talk to them about it? Because the Bible says, he that is not of God heareth us not. They ain't got time for that God stuff. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear about what the Bible has to say. You know, but they're faithful to a church somewhere. Look, tithing is one of the five things God expects from you, and you ought to tithe. But tithe ain't going to get you into heaven. You understand me? You know, taking communion on a regular basis ain't going to get you into heaven. The rites, rituals, and ceremonies are not what saves us. If that could happen, when Jesus prayed in the garden, when great drops of blood fell from his brow, and he said, God, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup of suffering is what that was, a cup pass from me. Then God would have went, okay, we'll make them work for it. But Jesus said, but there is no other way. Not my will, but thine be done. The church can't save you. And what you're going to find is the uncomfortable truth in Amos 3:3. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So why is there so many different versions of Christianity? Why is there so many different groups with different varying beliefs? Well, it kind of depends which Bible you're reading. It does depend which school you went to and what the theology professor taught. It does. Because they have a nasty tendency to raise themselves above the authority of Scripture and become the authority. So it's imperative you know your Bible. It's imperative you read it for yourself. Because all apostasy that we've ever heard of in the last 2,000 years has produced the modern American culture of ungodliness, sinfulness, wickedness, and rebellion. You know, it's not Hollywood to blame for the mess that's going on in this world. It's the churches and the Christians in America. We left it. We left it to the world to handle. We said, you can, you know, you kind of like when God was told to get out of schools and get out of businesses, and like a gentleman, he stepped back. Where were we, the Bible-believing Christian? We kept silent. We didn't do anything. We didn't vote. We didn't. And we were the majority in America. And we did nothing. So don't blame Hollywood. Don't blame the liquor crowd. And don't blame the LGBTQ community. They've been around since the time of Sodom, or even before. If we don't know our Bible, then we don't live our Bible. And if we don't live our Bible and walk in the Spirit, we make absolutely no difference in this world. And we should not be shocked when this generation goes off into foolishness, sin, and eventually hell. Because we are the ones with the truth. The world is in a mess, and its only hope is Jesus. And we're the ones who have him. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The true test of fellowship with God starts as a doctrinal issue. Our Heavenly Father, I love you. And Father, tonight, I too ask your forgiveness for my apathy. There's so many that I'm sure I could have witnessed to, and I haven't. And I beg your forgiveness. And Father, today it is my desire to recommit to you afresh and anew, to fall in love again with this book, to learn it, to live it, to find my delight in it, that it comes out in every aspect of my life with joy, and not fear or apprehension or worry, but the peace that I know you are who you are, and that you will do what you've said. And Father, tonight, if there's one in this room that if they died, they're not sure heaven's their home, they're not sure any of this is real, God, convince them of their need of a Savior and convict them of their need and their sin to be forgiven, and lead them in prayer of repentance and acceptance of Christ. And for us, your children, God, stir us, shake us, and show us. We beg you in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing, the altar is open. Won't you take time right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, won't you take time and speak to the Lord and say, God, what is standing in between you and I and being right with each other that I may make it right tonight? Won't you ask him? He'll speak to you.
Take now.
Heavenly Father, we love you, and we ask God that you would speak to our hearts, that as we read your word, you would write it there indelibly, that it would never fade, that you would use it in our daily life. Give us discernment. Give us the opportunity to share our testimony with others. In Jesus' name, amen.